God to you today. God, I pray as people drive past our building, walk past our building, God, that they would feel your anointing and your presence. God, now more than ever, this world needs you. I pray that FAC would be a light to Sandwich, God, as we worship this morning, as we talk about your word. I pray that something would change in the atmosphere of our city, God, and that you would reach for those, Lord, who are hurting and broken today. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thankful for what we feel. I'm thankful that no matter what state the world is in, we know who our confidence is in. The one who never fails, the one who never falls short, the one who never forgets, who never is surprised, and I am so thankful for that today. You can go ahead and be seated. I'm going to be reading several different verses throughout my lesson today. So we'll just start from the top here, but as I read it, it'll be up on the screen. I am so thankful that we can join together. I know there are many things right now being shared on Facebook. I just was talking to the praise team. I said I was so discouraged getting, you know, turning anything on or getting my phone out the last few days, because it just seems like everybody has something to say about what's going on, and sometimes there's differing opinions, and then there's fear, and then there's, of course, the reality that, you know, sickness is real, and it's going around, and so you just, it seems like our world is just frantically trying to do anything, rushing to the store, just let me stock up on all the supplies, and I am so thankful we don't have to live in fear. And what I want us to remember as a church family is that we need to now more than ever bind together to pray, not only just to, Lord, protect us from coronavirus, but there, our world, the fear and the panic that this has put into them, that just shows you how much we need a Savior, how much we need to trust in the Lord. So let's bind together and pray and be strong in the midst of what we're facing right now. I know my husband is so sad that he can't be with us today, but he has texted me several times. He's been up since early this morning praying for our service, and just can't wait to hear the reports of what's going on. So before I jump into that, I just want to let you know how much he is thinking of all of you and praying for you and wishing that he could be here today. So pray for him and his travels home tomorrow, that there's no issues, no bumps in the road. I know it may be a little crazy with all that's going on. So let's pray he makes it home safely to us. In a very instantaneous society, nobody likes to wait. Who in here enjoys waiting? I didn't think we would see many hands, because when there's a long line, a lot of people are like, I think I'll just pass. Never mind. I thought I wanted that. I know I used to work for Starbucks when I was in college, and our manager was so just adamant that we were going to make sure that the line stayed down, and we took pride at our store that we had the shortest wait times, and we were going to consistently break that record because we never wanted customers to wait for their cup of coffee in the morning at 5 a.m. because that only makes people mad. So we did our very, very best to keep the line moving and people happy. And if we weren't going fast enough inside, our manager would walk outside. He'd be taking orders and saying it through the headset, and we would be in trouble that we weren't going fast enough, because it's a society that wants things right now. I want it today, and I don't want to wait for it. I worked another job where I managed a shipping department, and people would say, well, hey, I ordered this, and, you know, why isn't it here yet? When we would put on there, you know, expect 3 to 5 business days or whatever it was, and they would say, oh, I thought it was going to be here by now, and be like one day later. Or they'd pay extra just to have it there one, you know, just the next day, not because they needed it. They just were anxious for it to get there. I just don't want to wait. I want it to be in my hands once I pay for it. A couple years ago, our microwave broke, and we were telling some of our friends about it, and they said, what? Your microwave broke? How are you going to live? And my husband and I went, we never got it fixed, actually. We moved out, and it was still broken. But they were all just, how would you live? And when people said, oh my word, you never fixed that? It was 2 years later, we were like, you know, now we don't notice it, but because it's shocking to have to wait for anything anymore, it was like, how will you ever survive? There's a quote that says, patience is not the ability to wait, it's how we behave while we are waiting. And nothing can show a person's true colors like if you are waiting, if your food doesn't come out on time, you know, if you're all sitting at a restaurant at a table and it's not coming out on time and everybody's checking their watch and what are these people doing and why can't they go faster? Because we want it right now. No one likes to stand in line for a long time because your legs get tired. You feel exhausted. It seems daunting to have to think, I'm going to stand here for how long, and I don't know when the outcome. I don't know when this is going to end. There's no time limit. There's no guarantee. There's no, well, if you stand here for 1 minute, it's the worst when you call somewhere, and they keep playing that message over and over that says, we have so many callers before you. Just, you know, thank you for your patience. I'm always thinking, I'm not patient, and the more you tell me that, I want to hang up. But there was a couple years ago with our youth at Calvary when we were youth pastors there, we took our youth downtown Chicago for the parade. They all wanted to go. They were so excited to go and begging us to take them. And so we're like, okay, if they want to go to the parade, we're going to take them to the parade. This is a great youth event. We'll all be together. We're going to have a great time. And it's around Thanksgiving. It's downtown Chicago. It's freezing. We didn't get a parking spot in advance, so we walked extra far. This is our first time doing it as new youth pastors, and none of these kids knew anything about it. They just wanted to go. So we all show up, and we got a horrible view. I mean, we were standing, people just all around us. You could not see the street. We were all so cold by that point and had stood for so long that the kids quickly went from, we can't wait for the parade on the way there to, can we please go home? I hate this. It's so cold. This is the worst. Nobody wanted to be there anymore. So we left before we even saw the parade. We went through all that trouble and had to leave and never see the parade because where we were standing, our view was completely blocked. We weren't prepared enough, and we just ended up leaving. After we learned our lesson, the next time we went, we told everybody, it's going to be cold. Bundle up. Prepare. This is the time we're leaving. We've got a spot for the van, and we're going to be on top of it this time. And despite their previous experience, they decided that they still wanted to go. And so we stood, and we got there even extra early that time. Because we said, if we will just go a little earlier and we wait a little longer, we'll have a front row seat to the parade, not a back row seat. And so we got there extra early and we stood right where the rope was. And so we're all standing there and we're thinking, okay, what can we do to pass these hours that we're here? And so we just all begin to play games together and to try to do anything to take our mind off of it. And would you believe it, that wait was longer, but because we were having fun together, it went quicker. Our attitude was different. First of all, we knew what we were getting into. Second of all, we decided, hey, you know what? We can make the best of this. We can make this a better experience than last time. And I think that sometimes when we're facing something spiritually, it really does matter where we're standing and how our attitude is, how our behavior is in the wait. We have to be patient, and patience is hard. But are you waiting with a defeated spirit or an expectant spirit? That's the difference. When I pray and I wait with expectancy, the wait doesn't seem so bad because I'm remembering the bigger picture. I'm remembering who I'm praying to. And when I wait with expectation, I think, this is going to be worth it in the end. Man, it seems a little long right now. Man, I'm getting a little tired right now, but this is going to be worth it. We kept telling our youth, when the parade starts, this is going to be so fun. And you didn't even notice it was cold because you were so excited just to be there and be up front. And because we waited a little longer, we got a front row seat to the parade. Sometimes I think we get a little bitter when the Lord makes us wait. But sometimes waiting produces a really great miracle, the front row seat to a really great miracle. So if you are in a waiting period today and the Lord hasn't quite answered your prayer the way that you thought, wait in faith today. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we never had to wait, we would never have to put our faith into action. And if we never apply faith, we're never going to please God. There is some faith. When we live for the Lord, I would love to say, tomorrow, you're going to get your miracle. And sometimes I believe God answers like that. You come forward, it's instantaneous. You're healed. You leave changed. I believe those things happen. I believe we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders. I believe people are going to come in the door and be healed. I believe we've already seen instances where God has worked in an instant. But I also think that sometimes there is a wait required in our life. And when that happens, we have to have the faith to believe, because faith is put in action when I cannot see. When I don't know how it's going to turn out, when I haven't received the answer right then, that is when faith is activated. And if you have been in a trial or a waiting room for a while, faithfully endure to the end. Sometimes we're faithful in giving up. Have you ever known somebody who every time something goes wrong, they throw in the towel, or they give you their word and then they always go back on it? Like, you know, text them, you make plans, and it seems like every time they're like, you know what, I don't really want to actually, or I can't do that. Let's not be faithful in giving up and faithful in giving in when times get hard. Let's be faithful in persevering, faithful in endurance, faithful to the house of God, and have faith believing that he will work it out. Wait and the assurance of God's promises. God isn't sitting and biting his fingernails and saying, oh no, what's going on? Oh, you know what, actually, I don't have a way out for you. Okay, let me scramble and figure it out. We're saying, oh Lord Jesus, please do it again. Make a way. I know you did it last time, but I don't really know if you can do it again. You've never done this thing before, so I don't think it'll happen. We get discouraged and so defeated, such a defeated mentality. God is not scrambling around hoping to find our answer. He is already in control. He already sits on the throne. He's never surprised. And in fact, he knew all along that even your waiting process was good for you, because he is intentional. So have faith in trusting in him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Genesis 15:5-6 says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall be thy seed. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted him as righteous. The Lord tells Abraham, look up at the sky. That's your promise. You're as many descendants as you see. So we see that in Genesis 15, that he tells Abraham that. And then in chapter 16, Sarah tells Abraham to take her maid so that they might have a child. I can't bear a child, so we're going to make this happen. We received a promise. Abraham was counted as righteous. And then the very next chapter, they're working out their own situation. You know, I've got a solution for this, God. Do we ever do that? Okay, Lord, thank you for that promise on Sunday. That's so great. And then on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, we're thinking, how can I make this promise come to pass? We love to try to figure out the way that God's thinking and how he's going to solve it for us. But they went, and I do believe that the Lord still used Ishmael, who came from Hagar, and he saw Hagar and still had compassion on Hagar. But that wasn't the plan God had in mind when he gave Abraham that promise. Because in chapter 17:16-21, it says, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? and Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee before I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. God was not limited by Abraham and Sarah's age. There was no limits at that time to what God could do through them. And God's promise was always to show his glory, that Sarah would be able to have a child even in her old age. I think God loves to do things unconventionally so that he can show through. And in this particular scenario, it was very unconventional to the point that they laughed. How could this happen? Are you serious? And I believe the Lord, no, I knew all along. Nothing surprised me. You may have thought you knew how this plan was going to come to pass, but my covenant is still going to happen through Isaac. It's still going to happen the way I intended it. Sarah, even in her old age, is going to birth a child. Nothing that we can do can change or improve the plan of God. His plan is perfect. I think sometimes we think, God, let me help you out with that. Let me improve that for you. But there is nothing can be improved upon when God does it. He already does it perfectly, and he does it well. There is nothing that you and I can do to change it. We're not that powerful. We're not that awesome. We can't change or improve it. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. I'm so thankful for that. He's never late. He's always on time. I think sometimes in those scenarios we look, well, this is crazy, and I don't know. This seems just, I've waited and waited, and I've prayed to the Lord. Nothing's happened, so we got to put our hands to the plow and start trying to manipulate it. But God always has a plan. When you're waiting, wait in strength. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? I'm so thankful that when I get tired, when I get weary, he's never weary. He's never tired. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. When I wait upon the Lord, my strength is renewed. Psalm 27 and 13 through 14 says, I remain confident of this. I'm confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Waiting produces strength in our lives. And God cares far more than just meeting our needs and answering right then. He cares that we come out stronger than we went in. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that it's not just, I'm thankful for the instantaneous miracles, but I am thankful for the seasons of my life that God was pulling things out of me and putting things into me and saying, you know what, when you come out on the other side of this testimony, you will be stronger because you waited. You will be stronger because you endured. If you will allow me, I will strengthen you. And I'm so thankful that the Lord cares to strengthen us, that he doesn't just leave us the way we are, but he, through his strength, we are made strong. If you're waiting, wait so that God may be glorified in you. Sometimes I think we pray, then God doesn't answer, and then we think, this must be punishment. God didn't hear me, guess I've done something wrong. Guess he's forgotten me. Oh, the Lord just didn't come through for me that time. Just didn't want to help me, didn't want to take care of me. I guess it must be a me problem. And I have been there. I mean, even through this house process, there's a couple times I told my husband, what are we doing wrong? What am I doing? Am I doing something wrong that the Lord doesn't hear my prayer? And I think that's very common for any of us to feel. Okay, so is there sin in my life? Me and my brother were talking about this yesterday. Sometimes I think we face things. it doesn't always mean that there is something wrong. Now, if there is, we got to get right. The Lord, I think, sometimes doesn't answer our prayers because we got to get right. And he is trying to change us and strengthen us in the process. But sometimes I don't think it has anything to do with our sin, but it has more to do with the fact that God loves us and he's strengthening us and using us in the process. John 9, 1 through 7 says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam.' He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing." That the works of God should be made manifest in him. So he's born blind. What did his parents do? What has he done to deserve this? The Lord says, "No, so that I can be glorified. I am the light of the world, and it is my desire that my glory would shine through you." I remember when I battled sickness, and I just continually thought, I prayed, Lord, heal me and, you know, deliver me. And then I got to a point where I thought, Lord, if it's a generational curse, if it's something I've done that would just cause me to be living in this, you know, please help me to see it. Because I don't understand why I have to face this trial. But so that the works of God may be manifest through you. There are people in Sandwich, Illinois that need Jesus. There are people you work next to that need to know your testimony. There are things we're going to face in life that have far more to do with the big picture of the kingdom of God, with souls being saved, not only your soul, not only so that God could use you and be glorified in you and so that you can have a testimony, but so that the person next to you can be encouraged. Because I can stand before you and testify that the Lord healed my body. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can be encouraged if you're going through something, that God can do it for you. The Lord would desire in anything that we walk through that he gets the glory. And see, sometimes I think if he did things instantaneous for some of us or for certain things in our life, we would just walk away and say, "Oh, thank you, Lord." Like the lepers, some didn't come back to worship. You know, we get something taken care of. Things are smooth sailing. Thanks, God. Everything's going good. Oh, yeah. I took care of that. We love to do that. And I think make it about ourselves. But the Lord would never desire that. And I have prayed so many times in my life, Lord, if I'm going to make it about me, please, Lord, whatever it takes, I need to always be able to see you. We have to, at the end of the day, consistently remember our need for God. And that's my prayer for these names in this jar. Lord, let them remember their need from you, their need for you, that through us you might be glorified, that they can see you in us. They can remember that they need a Savior too, not because any of us are perfect or have it together. I pray when people walk in that door that they see that we are human, that we are real, that we are people who have messed up, who have faced trials and faced situations, but we waited and we endured and we persevered, and because of it, we have a testimony of God's goodness that could shine through, that he would be glorified in us. If you're waiting today, wait in hope and expectancy. Psalm 138 and 3 says, "As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength." Recently, I was praying for different needs. I was praying for Easton Nave as he's just a child battling cancer. I was praying for our house situation. I was praying for people in the church that I know have been battling situations with either sickness for a long time or their jobs or their homes or their families, and thinking, Lord, why is it that sometimes somebody comes in here out of the blue on a Sunday, they pray, you'll heal their body. And then I'm watching so many people that are being so faithful to you still walking through the same trials. And I feel like I shared a couple Sunday nights ago that I was praying, and I'm like, Lord, I feel like I just sometimes bump my head against the wall. I'm sorry if I don't have any of the right words to say. I felt like the Lord just reminded me of a parent and a child, that he knows what each one of his children need. He never forgets. He created you. He knows exactly what you have need of, and he has heard your prayer the moment you pray it. And because you are his child, and because he cares so much, and because he sees a helicopter view of what we're facing, and we only see right in front of us, he knows where we're going and what we need to get to and how that testimony is going to impact other people. And because of that, sometimes we have to walk through something a little longer than we would like to. Sometimes we do have to wait. Sometimes he answers that night, but sometimes we walk through it. And the reason that we do is because he is the only one that knows where we're going, and he knows just what we need to get there. And I would hate for my body to be healed, but for me to never have been strong in the Lord. I say, count it joy. If you have to wait a little bit, if you have to go through a trial, count it joy that God would say, you know what? I care enough for you to strengthen you. I care enough that you could be strong in me. And so sometimes, in order to be strong in me, you have to be made weak on your own. And I think sometimes in those waiting periods, we do feel weak. We do sometimes get tired. We do get weary. But like the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. As I'm sitting there praying, and I feel like the Lord is bringing this to my mind, I was just, you know, praying for some other needs. And I very few times in my life have I felt like the Lord has said, get out your notebook, I have something to say to you. And that happens to me sometimes, and I will sit down and write in my prayer time. And the Lord spoke these words to me: stop making it so complicated. When you pray, I hear and I answer you. That's my promise. That's my character. I come through on my word and my promises. I think sometimes we think, I pray, and then the Lord's just folding his arms, kicking his feet back. He's waiting to pour it out. But no, when I pray, in that instant, he hears. In that instant, he works. In that instant, I believe he is already answering. If you are waiting, your waiting is a part of your answer. It isn't instead of. It isn't, I will get to you when I get to you from the Lord. It's, I know all things, and I know what you need, so I answer right then as you need it. And I know twice since we've been coming, we've had tongues and interpretation that said, when you pray, I hear and I answer. And that just feels like it's something that's universally just been playing in my mind even all year long. No matter what you are facing today, when you pray, rest assured, be confident. Don't be discouraged or downtrodden, but take heart today that God hears your prayers and he answers. He's not waiting. He's not slack concerning his promises, but he is going to answer you. He is there. He is working on your behalf. Psalm 130 and 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and his word I put my hope. Psalm 5 and 3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait in expectation. I lay my request before you, and I wait in expectation. See, when I pray, the Lord hears, and he answers. So I've prayed, the Lord hears, the Lord's answering. Then it's my job to wait in expectation, in hopefulness, in victory, not in dread, not in, oh, well, if it would only work out, not in fear, what if it doesn't, what if it will, no, but in expectancy that God is at work. I pray and then I expect that God is doing it. We can expectantly and hopefully wait because we know the one we're trusting in. Jabez, I told our ladies this at our last ladies' prayer, but when Jabez prayed, enlarge my territory, he prayed that awesome prayer that so many people reference, the prayer of Jabez. I was telling our ladies, they're in, I believe it's 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles, it's just listing a bunch of names in it. Then it says, Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. It lists name, and then it says Jabez, who's more honorable than all of his brothers. And then I thought, you know, I believe that the Lord, we get so wrapped up in praying the right prayers and doing the right things, and Lord, are you going to come through, and am I doing the right thing? And we can even say about people, well, what sin do they have in their life that they'd be facing that, or what sin of their parents, or how come they're facing that? I think we can get all wrapped up in that, but it just says Jabez was more honorable. I don't think Jabez had the most perfect words to pray. I don't think it was that he had always done the right thing, or that that particular prayer is just what moved God. I don't think we just come here and because you say the right words, you get your need met and I don't. I don't think that's how it works. I think because Jabez was more honorable. I think sometimes if we would just be focused on living an honorable life for the Lord, if we would pray and then say, Lord, I'm expecting you to work. I don't know how you're going to do it. I can't see my way out. But Lord, if you would bless me, I think he would honor that prayer because he hears us. He isn't slack. The Lord will always hear. So if you are waiting today on healing in your body, on provision in your finances, on a new job, on peace in a situation in your home or at work, on miracles to happen in your home or your family, even if you're waiting for a lost loved one that has walked away from the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I keep mentioning their name in prayer. Keep mentioning their name and then wait expectantly for God to do the work. Don't wait with your head down. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear that it's not working. God is working today. He is working in your life. He is intentional of taking care of you. So be intentional of trusting that he will take care of you. He can be intentional all day long. At some point, it is in our hands, though. Our attitude, our response, our intentionalness to say, you know what, God, I know you're at work, so I'm going to be intentional with how I'm living, intentional with how I'm praying, intentional to come up here and worship in prayer. When I don't see the way out, I don't know how you're working it out, but I'm going to be intentional every Sunday and every Wednesday to come in and be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to be intentional to wake up early in the morning and pray. I'm going to be intentional to read my word, your word. Maybe I don't see the way you're working it out right now, but I'm going to be intentional because I know I serve an intentional God. If we believe that God is who he says he is and that the word of God is true, then we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to worry. We have no reason to question, God, when will you work it out? We just went through this home buying process. As many of you know, you've been praying with us, and we have said so many times to each other, you know, we want a home, but we realize that there are many other things we could be facing in our life that are far worse than trying to find a home. We are thankful. We've said many times, Lord, thank you that our family is in good health. Thank you that you've blessed us with FAC. And there were times that I would feel discouraged, and I thought, no, the Lord's working through this situation. And so we went through this house buying process. We saw several houses. I mean, this was the fourth one we had moved on. You know, I went in an offer. We want, you know we need this. And there were times that it was like, Lord, please, if it's not you, you know, close the door. We don't know. We're doing our best. We were acting on what we felt to do and praying, Lord, slam the door shut or swing it wide open. And so the first house, all cash offer. So we were like, well, can't beat that. So guess we're not getting that house. And when I first got the text from my realtor, I just got teary-eyed. We were traveling on the way to my husband's grandmother's funeral. And I said, oh, I knew maybe it wouldn't work, but I was hopeful, you know, and I was hopeful. Sometimes I think we start out hopeful. We start out expecting. I pray, and then I wait in expectation, and then something goes a little different than we thought, a little different. The plan looks a little different than what I envisioned, and so then, well, now I'm sad. Now God doesn't see me. Now I'm never going to get a house. We speak so negatively. The Lord never came to my defense. The Lord doesn't care about me. I guess I'm never going to get my miracle. Like, one little thing goes different, and we just go from expectant hope to, well, never. Never getting it. And so I found myself even almost falling into that pattern, and then, you know, nope, the Lord's got something else. We prayed, slammed the door shut. The door slammed shut. We put another offer in on a house, and we had been praying, and then it looked like, okay, we're in the negotiation process, and then suddenly we sent over our counter. They took the house off the market. And then we're thinking, okay, this is great. This is a sign from the Lord. This is not the right house. This is good. This is good. We need this. And then they put the house back on the market, and we started thinking, oh, Lord, did we do the right thing? And people were asking us questions, and I kept telling my husband, I feel like people think we're crazy. I think our families probably think we're crazy. We're looking for a house, and we're saying, we're not going to put an offer back in on this house. We're not going to do anything to pursue it. The door just closed. I was talking to just random people that haven't been a part of the process, and I thought, I know they're thinking, like, well, don't you need a home? And so I was like, you know, we just felt, nope, we got to wait. Nope, we got to wait. And thanks to Brother Mike and Sister Angie, who always say, don't be in a hurry. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. God's going to work it out. I'm thankful for them and for their patience through that process. But then when that house didn't work, we thought, okay, well, we'll wait. Well, each house got better and better. So then this next house that we saw, okay, it's going to be the right thing. And we're so excited. Sister Joella knows. I said, I really, really want it to work out. And we go through and we see it. And then, you know, we're thinking, okay, this is the one. And we put an offer in and it's going to work now. And then it didn't work. They also got a significantly larger amount of money. And so, you know, didn't go with us. And we're like, well, okay, I guess we're not going to push it if this isn't the right thing. And so then with this one, we put an offer, multiple offer situation. They're like, I'm pretty sure she was like, oh, good luck. It's okay. She kept saying, it's okay. If this house doesn't work out, there'll be another one. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You could tell. I think she was nervous. Like, they've been through this so many times, and this one probably isn't going to work out because it's multiple offers. It never works out for them. She's probably so tired of us. She's like, get a house already. I'm tired of dealing with you. But it was funny because I could tell by the way she's talking. I'm like, she doesn't think we're getting it. So then I woke up the next morning, and I hadn't heard any word. I just had heard they got a lot of offers, and I just started crying that morning. I thought, oh, again. We're going to hear no again. It's like being rejected. I don't know. I never pursued a guy, but I can only imagine that if you, like, keep taking a shot and then the girl doesn't want to talk to you, you feel a little discouraged. I was never brave enough to do that as a girl, but I can imagine it would be discouraging when you get rejected. So I felt like that. I'm just discouraged. We're just already going to get rejected. And then I thought, you know what, Lord? I'm not going to have that attitude. I prayed, swing the door right open or slam it shut. If it is slammed shut, I have to be willing to accept that right now, this is a waiting room for me. And as long as it takes to get there, I have to realize that in the waiting process, you are working out the best in me and the best for me. The best in me and the best for me. God doesn't do it half-heartedly. He doesn't just give us. Sometimes I think we're just begging the Lord. And I was praying one morning, and the Lord quickly corrected me. I'm not going to give you something that's going to hurt you in the long run. It's like when Paris is just consistently reaching, oh, Mom, can I have that? Can I have that? And I know it's harmful for her. I'm not going to give her something dangerous for her. I'm not going to let her burn herself on something. The Lord is the same way. We think something looks cool and shiny and awesome. It's not for us to touch. It's not for us to have. But no good thing will He withhold that from those who walk uprightly. I'm so thankful for His word in Psalm that says that. And so an update on our house. We are in the process. The inspection went great. The inspector said, don't you just think this is the will of God? I said, I do. This house has been in better shape now. We still are in the process. There still has to be an appraisal. But so far, the doors have been swinging wide open. And so we've said, Lord, and this is the best house we've seen. And so I told the Lord, you know what? If it's not this one, you have something else. You have something better, because I've learned enough now to know that if I don't get my way the first time, it's because you care enough. You love me enough. You desire to bless me enough. It's not because He doesn't want to bless you. It's because He does. It's because the outcome, the testimony, the miracle is going to be so great in your life, and His glory is going to shine through, that if you will endure for just a little while, you'll have an awesome story to tell of God's goodness and God's faithfulness and what God did, not what you did, not what you made happen. But sometimes we wait so that we can look to him in the end. Let's all stand. I ended up going longer than I expected. Didn't really follow my notes. That's what happens. I just talk too much. But I am thankful for the goodness of the Lord, and I am confident that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I am hopeful that we're going to see revival at FAC. I am confident that whatever we have been praying about, God has heard and he has answered. It's just been playing over and over in my mind, and I don't know who needs to hear it today, but I believe that he wants to remind us, I am a prayer-answering God. I am working for you, the best in you and the best for you. Let's lift our hands and magnify the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, God, for your word today. I pray let it be sealed within our heart, within our spirit. God, I pray, Lord, if there is anyone who walked in discouraged and downtrodden, sad or defeated, God, that you would remind them, Lord, of your goodness, that you would remind them of your faithfulness to your promises, that you would remind them, Lord Jesus, that when we pray, you hear and you answer. Your arm is not short, Lord Jesus, but you have heard our prayer. Lord Jesus, God, FAC is a testimony, God, that you answer prayers, God, that you have been with us through the wilderness, God, that you have heard us and heard our cry. Lord, I pray you would touch each and every one of these church members today. God, I pray healing for those who are sick. I pray encouragement for those who are discouraged. I pray, Lord Jesus, God, for those who feel weak, that there would be strength. But most of all, God, I pray that if we are in a trial and a tribulation, and if we are walking, Lord, through a waiting period, God, that you would encourage us in you, Lord, to look to you. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills where my help comes from. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee will not slumber. Lord Jesus, God, you haven't forgotten. Lord, you aren't sleeping on your promises, God, but you are always working on our behalf, and we praise you for it today. We thank you, Jesus. At this time, I'm going to have him start the prayer music. It's about 10 till.